And along with Mike, I want to welcome all the dads here and those people that you influence, whether they're in your home or not. Last year I saw something really cool on the internet, on Facebook, a couple of young ladies, a couple of women that had several men that were influential in their life. They don't have to be born to you to be the dad. The father influences. And I think about people here that have since went to be the Lord that was influential in my life. And I could name off several real quick that were fathers to me besides the mom and dad I had in my own house. So welcome. And thank you. And if the brotherhood, and unfortunately I don't make it to brotherhood as often as I should, but a common verse that comes up is be a man from 1 Corinthians. And you're for those men that step up to be a man, to be a dad to those around them. All right, that is not what we're talking about today. Our sermon text is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there is few who find it. That is in the New American Standard, the Pew Bible, but in the King James also uses the way is wide, the way is narrow. And the New International Version says the road is wide, the road is narrow. Both convey the same idea, the life path we choose to follow. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you give me a calmness of nerve and to speak through me what you have presented to us today. I thank you for this opportunity that you would use me in this way. For Christ's name I pray, amen. I look around and I think most people know me. Maybe not everybody, but I am Roger. I'm a longtime fixture here. I do not belong up here. I belong back in the classroom with the teens. And so, I am better back there. But here I am. I had read this passage, I have read it many times, I understand it, but never really stopped to think about what it means to travel each road, what Jesus was conveying to us, and the consequences of the path in life we choose to travel. We are nearing the end of what may be the greatest sermon ever given, the Sermon on the Mount. And the listeners there, those who were present for the first time hearing the truth of God's word explained to them, it was not about keeping the rules, but what it truly means to approach, honor, worship, and follow God our Heavenly Father. We began this journey in Matthew. Pastor Jeff started it before he left, and it was decided that we would continue working through Matthew. And so, this portion of Scripture fell to me. I looked at these two verses, and I thought, where am I going to go with this? Two verses. And then, as I looked at it, and the Holy Spirit reveals stuff, it started snowballing. And then I thought, how am I going to condense this to one worship service? There is so much in two verses. What I see here are choices. Jesus has given us two choices, and choosing which path in life we choose to follow and may not end up where we think they're going to end up. What this world promotes, it does not matter what path we choose, it's the same destination. Are just different routes to get there. The Bible says that they are not. Each has its own destination where we end up. Before GPS, Lynn and I would go places and think we were on the right road and we would get lost. I believed it to be true, but we'd end up in a place where you'd call, where in the world are we? But while we were on the road, that's when you used maps. And Lynn would tell me to stop and ask for directions. And I didn't. I sincerely thought we were on the right road, but we was not. That's when you used maps and we didn't have GPS yet. Yes, kids, GPS hasn't always existed. Now, one time we were headed to Idlewild in Pennsylvania, and we were on the road to get there, and as we was traveling, I told Lynn, I said, wait, we're going the wrong direction. And she goes, how do you know? I said, because the sun, S-U-N, the sun is in the wrong place. We were on the right road, but we'd be going the wrong direction. So we had to turn around and go the other way. Now we have GPS. And even with that, it's wise to look at a map. You can get lost. Andy, our own truck driver here, he told me about inexperienced truck drivers. And they would get lost. And they would be asked. They would radio for help and they were asked, didn't you look at a map? And they go, no, I have GPS. Well, GPS is great, but you still can get lost. You need to consult a map. In this case, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the map is the Word of God. Worldview versus biblical worldview, and that by itself is a whole discussion. But to put it simply, we all develop a worldview, and that tells us how to think and how to behave. We have all developed our own belief and morality based upon many factors like our upbringing, parents, influences that I had right here, other family, friends, education, books we read, TV, movies we watch, music we listen to, the media, perhaps political party, and other religious upbringing, whether it's based on the Holy Bible or not. With this, every day we make decisions based on what we believe to be morally right and good. Wide road and narrow road. Wide road is based on what society says is right. The narrow road is based on what the Word of God says is right. Those of you who has been here during Pastor Jeff's time, you remember the box? Pastor Jeff liked using the box when pressed with a hard question dealing with sexuality, marriage, a guy and girl living together. He would use his box. Anything inside the box was okay. That's what the Bible says. Outside the box, don't do that. You know, so the inside the box is the narrow road. Outside the box, the wide road. To put it simply, if you remember the WWJD back years ago, what would Jesus do? When you face a decision or a situation, ask yourself, what would Jesus do in that situation? The wide road and the narrow road. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Wide gate, narrow gate. Romans 12, 2 says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. It's a choice, the wide road or the narrow road. Every driver should know that you can't ride the center line, even though I've seen motorcyclists do that. It's a decision. The one road is wide and nice, and everyone else is going that way. Why is the gate so wide? It's got to be the right way, right? It's a highway, and it's moving fast, and appears has a lot to offer. The other road is narrow and windy. It's not as nice. And the gate is narrow. Why is it so narrow? The road has potholes and obstacles in the way that we have to move or go around. It can be a hard road to travel. And you look around and not very many people are taking the road. You second guess yourself. You say, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right way? But the map, God's word, says it is the right way, but it doesn't make sense. The world is not moving that direction. The majority is going the other way. But the sun, S-O-N, is over there. And you have to turn around and go the other way. Does it have to make sense when God's word says it is the right way and you are following the Holy Spirit's leading? Maybe in doubt, but still in faith. The ladies has a gift for you, and sometimes when we find ourselves in those situations, it says, Jesus, take the wheel. Sometimes that narrow road can be treacherous, and we have to have Jesus take the wheel. Verse 13, the wide road, the path of least resistance. It embraces worldly value. It's what about me? Or it's all about me. The wide road is about self-gratification, comfort, indulgence, taking the easy way. The phrase I hear is you have to do what makes you happy, but sometimes end up making bad choices and they are not happy. The person following the narrow road may think they are missing out. Working most of my years with men that are following the wide road, they would throw it up to me what I am missing. One trying to figure me out asked me, he said, you mean you have never been drunk or high? And I told him, I said, you have to understand, I have been a Christian since I was 15. Not a good answer. All I should have explained that better. All he saw was the wide road, the happiness, the gratification that the world has to offer. Poor Roger. Christianity is a bummer, and he is missing out. All I saw was when the men were reminiscing and swapping stories is how much God has protected me. And I did not miss out on anything. It made real to me the verse that says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. In the New American Standard, it says more abundantly. And in the King James, it says more abundantly. And the New International Version says that you may have life and have it to the full. Those people are the same people who wanted to talk with me and pray with me when their lives fell apart. And some of my brothers and sisters here know what I'm talking about. That these are the folks that come to you when life, things go wrong. But that's not to say Christians don't have problems too. And yes, we have brothers and sisters that come to us and we pray for them. The wide road, one of my sisters here told me some time ago that a friend came to her, and knowing that she is a Christian, she wanted her to pray for her. She was trying to decide whether to move in with her boyfriend or not. And she goes, I don't have to pray. No, that is not what God wants for you. And, the wide road in theory sounds good. Live together, see if you're compatible, but research is showing it does not work that way. People end up hurt or worse. God knows best. Who would have guessed that? The wide road, the world we live in, says right is wrong and wrong is right. It's okay for a guy to go into a woman's locker or dressing room. It's okay if a woman wants an unwanted pregnancy that she can end that human life. And some think it's even okay that life that person is born, if she changed her mind, they can end that life too. The wide road, and I see on Facebook, there are, and other resources, there are those who say they are Christians would agree with these things. One person I can think of, I was in ministry with, and I can't believe some of the things this person posts on social media, like support for abortion or people's lifestyles choices, clearly against the Word of God. Some things are a matter of interpretation. Other biblical truths are black and white. What does the Bible say? Look it up. Don't take my word for it. I tell my youth once in a while, I tell my youth, don't take my word for it. Don't take the pastor's word for it. Look it up. What does the Bible say? The narrow road. If we start brainstorming, we could come up and spend a long time compiling a list of what the wide road says is truth, but the world is telling us where happiness is. What people do not want to look at or think about is the consequences of the life choices they have made. The wrecks along the wide road, addiction, broken lives, marriages, broken relationships, afflicting their physical, mental health, children that have been changed forever by choices not their own. A list, again, if we start talking about it, could be a long list. I look at the wide road and think, how much have I been influenced by the wide road? and not even knowing it. TV, movie, music, our education system, the workplace, those I associate with, our own government and what they want me to believe, those famous people that speak out, and some so-called pastors and preachers. And the list can go on and on of the influences on me, on you. On the wide, chapter 11 of Luke, Jesus was laying out some hard truths to the Pharisees and teachers of the law on their conduct and what they were teaching the people. Luke chapter 11, verse 45, one of the lawyers told Jesus, he says, when you say these things, you insult us. The world, the wide road, says we have to be all-inclusive to the lifestyles of others, the choices they make, their sexual and religious beliefs or non-religious beliefs. We don't want to hurt their feelings. To do otherwise is hate speech, though they are on the road to destruction. Verse 13 of our text. There are those who call themselves Christians would agree that we have to be all-inclusive and reject the truth of God's word, the Bible. We don't reject the person. We love on them. But that is not to say we have to accept their choices. We love on them, but we stand on the truth of God's word. The wide road says we must be all-inclusive to all religions because they all lead to God. Or do they? According to Jesus, how many ways are there to heaven? One. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What? Well, that's pretty narrow-minded. There's only one way to heaven? But that is what Jesus said. Luke chapter 13, verse 24, it says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Jesus referring to himself as that narrow door. But following the wide road, the world says all paths lead to God. It does not matter what path you follow, we must be all inclusive. A famous world religious leader, Pope Francis said, every religion is a way to arrive at God. They are different languages to arrive at God, but God is a God for all. I heard on the news that he had said that, and I thought, there is no way this that is supposed to be a godly man and stands on the word of God that he said that. I went to many different websites and news outlets, and yep, it's true. Right away, his followers come out to defend him and what he had to say. Joel Osteen may have the biggest church in the world. And I was watching a video of an interview he had with Larry King. And King pressed him to say that Jesus was the only way, and he would not say it. I heard Osteen in the video was referring to the people of India, says they love God and they are so sincere. But who or what do they worship? Does sincerity get you through the narrow door that leads to life, heaven? Matthew 7:14, the answer would be no. I have a neighbor who almost died, and he said, I was talking with him, and he believes that it does not matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And even though I shared scripture with him, I could not convince him otherwise. But Jesus says in John chapter 10, those who try to get into heaven another way is a thief and a robber. Not my words, that is what the Bible says in black and white. Well, if you have the red letter edition of the Bible, Jesus' words, it's in red. Daryl told how we should judge or not judge. But I have to question Osteen, even if he's a Christian. You know, God is the judge of that. But Matthew says, by their fruit you will know them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 23. By their fruit you will know them. What road is he telling people to follow? James chapter 3, verse 1 says, those who teach will be judged more strictly. That I take very seriously. I've been teaching more years than I can remember. I take that very seriously, that I will be judged more strictly in sharing the word of God. You need to be careful. And that I handle the word of God correctly. 2 Timothy 2:15. The narrow road, the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, John 14, 6. The narrow road and no other way. You either follow the wide road and of all paths lead to God, or you follow the narrow road that all paths, the narrow road that there is no other way. Jesus Christ, both views cannot be right. The way I see it, to follow the worldview that all paths lead to heaven is to call Jesus a liar. He's the one that said he is the only way. Peter tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which they may be saved. The narrow road represents the choice to follow Christ. Luke 13, 24, strive to enter through the narrow door. And he says, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able. It's a path of repentance, surrendering your will to God. It's personal sacrifice, discipline, develop in a really deeper relationship with God through the study of His Word, through talking with Him, called prayer. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. The narrow road can be difficult. But are you going to quit or reject Christ or not accept Him at all because it's too hard? We have been looking at the book of John in youth group. John chapter 6, Jesus was saying things that were hard to understand. In verse 60, said, therefore many of His disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is too difficult a statement. Verse 66, as a result, many of His disciples, there was a large following that He had, many of His disciples withdrew and not walking with Him anymore because it was too hard. But in 67 and 68, so Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Look at Matthew 7:13. What is the destination on the wide road, going through the wide gate? Destruction, also called hell. Maybe destruction in this life, but then hell in the afterlife. Those who choose, that's following the wide road, and choose, spend their lives following the wide road and rejecting God, and then the end is destruction. They spend their life rejecting God, and God at the end will honor that request by eternal separation from Him. Why is the one gate wide to accommodate the many who have chosen to reject God and not enter through it? Following the narrow road, why do so few find it? It's that old trap Satan used on Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Did God really say? Causing Eve to doubt what God says is true. And then tempted her that she could be like God. Verse 5. She could be her own God. Number 2. Spiritual blindness. Many of have their eyes fixed on the world and temporal pleasures. They do not see the eternal significance of their choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4 says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, which is Satan, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Before COVID, we had a fair-sized youth group, and they were made up of unchurched, undisciplined young people. And every week, we presented to them the scriptures, we presented them Christ, we loved on them, and told them the way they could make their lives better through Jesus Christ. And every week they would reject it. Only a couple of them that I might have came to Christ and chose to follow Him. I was frustrated. And I came to Sunday school. I only had one student show up. I came to Sunday school. I had one student there. She knows these people. They're her friends. And I expressed that to her. I said, I don't get it. Every week we present it to them. Here we present Christ to them and how they could better themselves and get out of the horrible, you know, I mean, they did. They had horrible lives. And I know that. And I said, I don't get it. Why won't they come to Christ? They don't get it. Why don't they get it? And she says, oh, they get it. They just don't care. So I could have added another one, apathy. They just don't care. There's one that's not up there. The call to be different. Jesus challenges us to be different from the rest of the world, a world that is hostile to those who choose to follow Christ, to take a stand on the truth of God's word. I like the praise songs. All of them were fitting for what we are doing here today. And the one phrase of the one song, the chains that Satan binds us, and to break free of those chains through Jesus Christ. Romans 12:1, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know, you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Referring to himself, the word strive we get from the Greek, agonize. In the English, it's agonize. It gives us a picture of those who enter through the narrow gate. It's a struggle. It's a strain. The NIV says, make every effort to enter through the narrow gate. Like someone running a race, you run in such a way to win. 1 Corinthians 9:24. You are exhausted, but you keep pressing on toward the goal. Or those who have traveled the Appalachian Trail, you keep going mile after mile. Your muscles ache, your feet hurt, you are tired, but you keep pushing. You can't see the goal, but you know it's there, and you go until you see it. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that you can work your way to heaven. That is the world view, the wide road. I have heard people tell me that I am a good guy. I think I'm going to heaven. Scripture is clear. It's black and white. You can't work your way to heaven. You will never be good enough. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. No one can earn heaven. It's a gift. And Christ paid an awful price for that. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. But the world, the wide road, will try to discourage you. Satan will whisper in your ear, try to confuse you, and he will do his best to scare you and stop you. But we enter through the narrow gate. We keep our eye on the sun, S-O-N. You may feel alone, but Scripture tells us, I will never leave you, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you, for we wake up every day and we make a new commitment to keep traveling that narrow road. Or do you choose the wide road that leads to destruction and hell? Where do you want to spend eternity? The choice is yours. What is your decision? As we wrap up here and we close, certainly you can come up and pray. If you've got your feet more in the wide road and the narrow road and you need to spend time with God, or perhaps you do not know Christ at all and you wonder what steps do you need to take? We have people here that will come up here and pray with you. You won't be alone if you choose to come forward and you need to spend time in prayer. So as we close, I will pray and we're going to close and have the last song and then they will pray to close this service. Even after, if you need to talk, there are people here that will talk with you. The struggle is not alone. We're in this together on the narrow road. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have gave us these choices that we can choose to follow you, but you leave that up to us, which road we choose to follow. Now, I pray that there will be none here that will choose to leave without you. For it's Christ's name I pray. Amen.